Yes, that line forms
on the right page.
Not that Maggie.
Am I back?
Back in town.
Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
I'm back.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you, 888-808-1019. That's the number to call, and I expect you to do so between now and 5 a.m. when the warm-up show comes your way. Me and Fleek's got you. Till then, he's sitting there all smug with his LGM Mets hat, his Mets shirt, and I'm sitting here all annoyed as the New York Mets absolutely dominate the New York Yankees in this season's Subway Series to a level that, and maybe this is, I don't want this to sound condescending because I really don't mean it to be. I don't even remember the Yankees dominating Subway Series the way this Subway Series was dominated by the Mets. I'm sure there are years out there, and yes, you know, we were probably so, you know, hung up on how much better the Yankees were than the Mets that we don't remember it or recognize it. But here's the fact of the matter. The New York Mets absolutely embarrassed the New York Yankees. And I tweeted this and I meant it. Watching these four games, the Yankees have been one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball for 2.5 months. Excuse me, yeah, maybe 2 months, a little bit, 6-7 weeks, something like that. And over that stretch, they have lost series after series after series and had ugly loss after ugly loss after ugly loss. They've been beaten by their own division like a drum. They're going to go play the Red Sox this weekend. The Red Sox have embarrassed them and stole 9 bases in a game. It's been as ugly as you could have ever imagined for the New York Yankees for 7 weeks. As they whittled away their great record to start the regular season. Nobody has embarrassed the New York Yankees. Nobody has stepped on a field with the New York Yankees, even as they've been awful, and made it look like there are haves and have-nots, and there are good baseball teams in this league, and there are bad baseball teams in this league. Nobody has rubbed the Yankee fans' face in it. Nobody has embarrassed this franchise more in this disgusting stretch where we're sick to our stomachs on a daily basis. Nobody has made us feel worse than the New York Mets. They have absolutely kicked the tar out of the New York Yankees in every single way. And they have proved, without a shadow of a doubt, who the best team in this city is, what team between the two are more poised for a stretch run, who plays better baseball, who's more fun to watch, who's better managed, even say that one, who's better put together. Nothing has embarrassed this New York Yankee team like the New York Mets. So congratulations, Mets fans. And I know that's a shallow, that's not what you're looking to do. You got the Braves coming up, more important. But let's just take a minute. It is Subway Series. Let's take a second. For years, you've been the second-class citizen. For years, you've had the little brother syndrome, as us Yankee fans like to talk about it. And it's all congratulations on your World Series victory. Well, let me tell you something right now. This is as lopsided a Subway Series as I ever remember. And that's the takeaway from this game. That's the takeaway from these four games, really watching it. One team has a lineup that top to bottom, 1 through 9, looks like one of the better offenses in baseball. Looks like a force that keeps coming at you. Looks like there are threats at every single position. And the other one is a flat-out joke. And watching these two teams play, I might lie to myself more than some. I think Yankee fans, some of us lie to ourselves. Some of us are pissed off. some of us don't think there's a hope and chance in hell that they can recover from this and become anything worthy of being a World Series caliber team. And some of us play the game, and I'm one of them, who thinks, hey, you got Stan coming back, you got this one coming back, got the All-Star game coming back. The All-Star game coming back? What the hell am I talking about? All-Stars coming back. The trade deadline is what I meant, coming up. And maybe they can impact this team. But it's never been more clear and obvious how terrible this Yankee offense is when compared to the New York Mets. And it's, there's no other way to put it, an embarrassing display. And this Met team, let's take the Mets angle for a second before we'll get to the Yankees and how terrible they are. This Met team, I know that many Met fans, as I was just listening to Keith in his show and all the Met fans calling in, I understand the trepidation. I understand that, hey, I'm the Yankee fan trying to tell you, hey, the first 2 months matter and they can get back there. And I understand the first 2 months for the New York Mets were atrocious. I get it. And I understand that year after year, there's hesitation, and you've seen this lineup be ice cold and you've seen this team struggle. But right now, looking at this lineup top to bottom, you are getting performances from guys you never expected to get performances from. I mean, Bader gets a little sore. You got to play Taylor. He dominates the game with diving catches and home runs. You've got Iglesias and the oh my God. Forget the oh my God. He's killing it. He's got a 900 OPS. He's having the best year of his career. You are getting career performances from Iglesias, Vientos at the beginning of the year. Met fans like Sal Licata and many others because I happened to be filling in for Sal with BT the day that they signed JD Martinez, and Sal called in and was dancing on the grave of Vientos as he couldn't wait to send him down to the minor leagues. And now the guy is as dangerous and hits the ball as hard as anyone in baseball. You got Lindor, who Met fans have been killing for pretty much his entire tenure here. Whether it was doing nothing during last year's, you know, June swoon, or the streakiness of what has become one of the best players in baseball this year and has thrusted himself into the MVP conversation if the Mets continue to play like this. But he's a force right now hitting leadoff. Nimmo's cooled off, but he's on pace for 100-plus RBIs, having the best power and RBI season of his career. The least impactful offensive player has been their most impactful offensive position in every other year, Alonso. I mean, you are getting it up and down the lineup. And your starting rotation, yeah, sure, not stupendous, but serviceable. And yeah, we're going to see Kodai Senga on Friday and see what he can step in and do. But yeah, they don't go that deep. They tend to get walk happy at times. The bullpen is still an issue. But ultimately, when you look around the rest of the mediocre Major League Baseball, and it is mediocre, where the Yankees have been the worst team in baseball for 2 months, and they're a game and a half back, as you watch Baltimore, the team, the young, talented team, the Baltimore Orioles that were going to take Major League Baseball by storm, 100 games last year, can't beat the Marlins. The Atlanta Braves are dealing with injuries and haven't been nearly what they've been. The Dodgers are dealing with injuries. In this mediocre Major League Baseball season, watch this Met team play. And I know they beat the lousy Yankees, but look at this offense. They're as dangerous as anyone. And as we talk about the days leading into this trade deadline, why not go out there and be uber aggressive? You are getting to the point where over the last handful of weeks, the Mets have slowly transitioned from sellers, and the Subway Series probably won't even matter, and whether or not to trade Pete Alonso, to slowly getting better to the point of, hey, maybe it makes sense not to sell anybody, to then becoming somewhat of buyers, maybe upgrade on the fringes and little pieces, to the point now where you look at this Met team on ESPN in front of the whole world, a whole country, watching them absolutely dismantle the New York Yankees, take Gerrit Cole, who we're going to talk about in a second, 888-808-1019, give me a call on the disaster that was Gerrit Cole last night. Watch taking last year's Cy Young and the Yankees' best pitcher and only hope to try and get a game from the New York Mets, and watch him take him deep left and right, high fastballs, cutter, you know, that didn't cut anywhere down the middle of the plate, taking BP fastballs and hitting it 400 feet. Two home runs from Lindor, who, like I said, is going to be an MVP candidate. watching this team dominate the New York Yankees. Maybe it's time to transition to the next level and be serious at this trade deadline and be one of the handful of teams with real urgency to go out there and get the handful of pieces that are difference makers. Maybe you are more willing to part with some serious prospects to help this year's team, who quite honestly has shown that the lineup in particular is as good as any in baseball. And that's what you take away. I'm sorry, there's nothing else to take away. We can get into Aaron Boone, and we will. Right? We can get into the disaster that is the New York Yankees, and we will. But watching these games, watching the Subway Series that we get all hyped up for, the thing that jumps off the page is how far better the New York Mets are than the New York Yankees. That's it. And the Yankees have 60 wins. And the Yankees have been terrible, but they still have one of the best records in all of baseball, and they are dominated by this Met team. Dominated. At every turn. They throw lefty starting pitching at them that they can't hit. Their bullpen, you could call it a wash between the Yankee bullpen. Their bullpen came in and got outs. Ottavino got big outs. Every time there was a situation where the Yankees could do something to help get back into the game or break open the game, the Mets bullpen came in and wasn't terrific, wasn't, you know, dominant. But hey, every single situation, whether it's obviously Diekman striking out Aaron Judge at the end of the game, or whether it's Ottavino coming into this game and getting a big out from Volpe, whether it's in any situation, Nunez drops a ball at first base, doesn't matter, he'll overcome it. And meantime, what happens? Jeff McNeil, who's suddenly become hot and transformed this Met lineup into even another level with even less holes in it. Now who cares when Marte comes back? You got all these different options. You got every bullpen guy coming in for the Yankees giving up more and more and more and more. The difference between these two teams are jarring. It's stark. It jumps off the page. And right now, this Met team has impressed the hell out of me. And with the deadline rapidly approaching and all of us being uncertain about what Stearns' thought process is, I'm starting to lean into the idea that you're chasing something special. That in these big series, when you take on the New York Yankees, you dominate. This offense, top to bottom, is getting so many special seasons out of so many guys you wouldn't have expected it from, that who knows what these prospects are going to bring. All I know is right now, you've got a song, you've got Grimace, you've got guys giving you from the bottom of the lineup the best seasons of their career. You got Senga coming back. It's almost to the point where, yeah, Maton's nice, and sure, you can get limited guys who can come in here and help the Mets. Great. Okay. How about you go out there and get impactful players that could legitimately help this team chase something special? Because as much as the story might be out of this game, especially for Yankee fans, for me included, obviously, what a disaster the Yankees are. Take a second, listen to that broadcast last night as they're just throwing flowers at the Mets all night long. What an impressive performance in these four games. What an impressive performance in these two in particular to come into Yankee Stadium and outpitch them, outhit them, outclass them, outwork them, outdefend them, outbase run them, out everything. And that leads me obviously to the New York Yankees, who were outclassed by the New York Mets, and the disaster that is this lineup. And yet, you know, well, I'm sure the cleanup hitters help? Did it matter what order Aaron Boone put the garbage in, like I talked about yesterday? Because they are 1-for-10 with running and scoring position, 11 left on base, 4-for-36 against the Mets with runners in scoring position. Embarrassing. Whether it was the first couple of innings in the games at Citi Field, whether it was all of these games at Yankee Stadium, they're inept. They're absolutely inept. The New York Mets came in to Yankee Stadium and beat up on the feeble New York Yankees. That's what happened. And now this Yankee team that is desperate for anything. And I'll tell you right now, listening to Boone in the postgame, yeah, I'm pissed off about a lot of the things he said. A lot of the things he said annoy me. And let me answer some of the questions, and we'll play some of the sound. But he talked about, when asked about this stretch, he didn't want to call it a stretch, and it's this. Let me answer that question right now. This is no longer a stretch. This is no longer a time period of struggle. This is no longer a rut or a slump. This is who they are. This is who the New York Yankees are. In my mind, that's who they were 2 months ago, was the best team in baseball, and I would argue anybody that's who they were. Who they are right now with the construction of this lineup and the players they are presenting, who are they? They are as bad as anyone in Major League Baseball. That's who they are. There is no longer trying to justify or clarify or try and figure out exactly what this means and what they're going through. This is who the New York Yankees are. They're two good hitters. Like Severino said, like we've all said, like Major League Baseball has said, like we all know, they are two good hitters and a bunch of slop. That's who they are. And we can blame Aaron Boone, and I'm right there with you. I'm going to get into whether or not Aaron Boone should be fired, because that seems to be the talking point after this game, whether they need a spark inside this clubhouse. We'll get to that. But this is so far much more about Brian Cashman and this roster than it is about Aaron Boone. Every decision other than Juan Soto has absolutely blown up in the Yankees' face. And we got to get into a lot of the different reasons why this Yankee team is the way it is. And if you want to get on this organization and this team, it goes deeper than the last month. It goes deeper into player development. Why is Anthony Volpe this bad for this long? Why is Verdugo having the worst season of his career? All right, he's never been a great player, but he was a serviceable player. He was a slightly above average player. Why has he been trash for 2 months? Why are they forced to play who they're playing? Why is J.D. Davis being forced into this lineup? And I'll tell you right now, I don't believe Boone is a puppet. I've never subscribed to that notion. I don't think he's dictated exactly what to do. I think obviously Brian Cashman is very hands-on. They have discussions on a daily basis. And sure, as you're losing and you feel like your job might be in trouble, yeah, you might listen to your boss. Maybe, that's always plausible. But here's the point. When I watch J.D. Davis get thrown into this lineup, it feels like Brian Cashman saying, I traded for him, play him. And I'm watching this garbage that they throw out there, and we're trying to in the postgame, we spend 5 minutes on whether or not it's a stretch or a slump or whatever we're going to call it. You know what we're going to call it? New York Yankee baseball. That's what it is. And you've got Soto talking about, hey, in the postgame, you know, or yesterday too, talking about, well, listen, it's got to be more than two guys. Yeah, it's got to be more than two guys. And if they want to change this up, here's the bottom line. As you worry about whether Soto wants to be here or not, they better win, and he recognizes what's going on here. They all do. Nobody wants to say it, but they all recognize what's going on here. But unless Stan comes back and hits right away, unless they make deals that every single one of them hit at the deadline, this Yankee team is going nowhere. Because they need so many different guys. I heard Andy Martino talking about this too on the SMY, Sports Night or whatever the show is called. That the answers have to come from within. And I've been saying that over and over again. Volpe has to hit or they're not going to win. Verdugo has to hit or they're not going to win. Well, I'm starting to think, I don't know how long this has to go. And whether it's a stretch or whatever else, how long does this have to go with players that are absolute trash who can't figure it out? How long before I think this is Anthony Volpe? How long before I think this is going to be Verdugo's year? How long? And we got the manager taking bows for being together in the dugout. That bothered me a little bit, but let's be honest. ESPN was saying the same damn thing. Maybe it is important. I don't know. What I know is wins and losses are important, and this team's as inept as we've seen. And I don't know if the deadline's going to be enough to fix them. It has to come from within, and I no longer have faith in any of these guys. And we can yell about the manager, and we can yell about whether or not he provides a spark, and we can yell about the intensity and whatever else. What intensity is going to change DJ LeMahieu from being a soft ground ball hitting machine? What intensity is going to change Anthony Volpe from rolling over on outside breaking balls to the shortstop over and over and over again? What kind of spark can the manager provide to make Verdugo not hit 15 for his last 110. Two teams in complete opposite directions, and with a never more on display than the offensive prowess that the Mets are providing and the meek and feeble lineup that is put forth by the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We're going to get more into Boone. We're going to get more into this Yankee lineup, and we're going to get more into what the Mets can do at this trade deadline to now bolster a team that is showing you. I know they're a couple days removed from splitting it with Miami, and I know that they lost the last game of the All-Star break to Colorado, and some guys have cooled off at times. They just showed up in a big game with the entire city watching in Yankee Stadium and absolutely dominated. Absolutely dominated. I think it's time to have a little bit more faith and a little bit more urgency from the Mets, not the players, but the idea that it is now time to provide enough for this team to actually go out there and not just slightly get better, or maybe you could do this, and hey, we're hoarding prospects, and I understand we're trying to build for the long term. Who knows what the long term looks like? I can tell you right now, I'm watching a team that's starting to feel special. And I don't care what situation your organization finds itself. I don't care when it pops up. When it does, you have to take advantage of it. Two teams, two opposite directions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99. 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 228 McMonagle here with you on The Fan. After that Subway Series, and especially the final game where the Mets just ran through the finish line and absolutely spiked the football and made a statement about who's the best team in the city, who's the most, you know, who's got an offense that can actually participate in a Major League Baseball game, because right now the Yankees don't have it. And let's be honest, and we can get to Boone here for a second, because I know I didn't want to open strictly with the Boone conversation. I felt like I did that yesterday. I know it's a you know, whenever everybody wants the manager fired, it's a major talking point and conversation. And right now, I mean, look, you know how I feel about Aaron Boone. I don't put a lot of blame on Boone's plate for this. I just don't. I look at the roster. I talked about it yesterday. The offense stinks. We saw it now. Okay, oh, they played Wells. Great. I mean, yeah, they still sat Rice. And again, I'm not sure why they did. It feels like to me Brian Cashman is insisting on this one. I traded for him. We might as well try it. We traded specifically to hit left-handed pitching. But look what I mean. It's the same thing. They don't score. They don't come through with the base hit. And when you look to fire a manager, for me, I don't think this is Boone's fault. The roster isn't any good. When you look at the roster, look at the players on it, right? Like, look at the players and how they're performing. Now, it's the manager's job to get the best out of his players. Of course. Of course. And the question would be, why is Verdugo playing like this? Why can't Anthony Volpe progress? And why did he, you know, get off to the good start, look completely different, and now falling on his face? And why can't they help him? I get it. And I think the biggest indictment against Aaron Boone, besides maybe the nonsense they pulled in game two of the ALDS in 2020 with you know, replacing the starting pitcher, which was ridiculous. But besides that, to me, that's a moment that sticks out for me when I get angry about Boone or whatever's gone on here in his tenure. The biggest indictment of Boone, and I've said this a bunch, not only the biggest indictment of Boone and the biggest reason why the Yankees have been where they've been over the last couple of years, is the failure of the Baby Bombers. The inability to develop the young players during this Boone-Cashman tandem era has been, without question, the biggest problem they have. And in my mind, that's why Brian Cashman hasn't been good over the last handful of years, because he's trying to do patchwork. He had a mindset of building a young core like they did in the mid-90s. He had Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres coming up. This 2017, 2018. 18 is when Gleyber made the scene. But he had Gleyber, he had Bird, he had Sanchez, he had Judge, he even had Andujar. Right? He traded for Clint Frazier, and eventually Clint Frazier was going to come up. That was going to be the core of the team. And all of them, one by one, was unable to get better. Some of them came up and hit right away. I mean, Gary Sanchez came up and was the best power hitting catcher in the sport, two-time All-Star. Gleyber Torres, 38 home runs in 2019, the next young great player, two-time All-Star. Greg Bird hitting big home runs off of Andrew Miller in the postseason to win games 1-0 in 2017. The only guy to him and Alex Rodriguez, the only two guys to get a hit in the wild card game in 2016. Bird was going to be their best hitter. Came up here, hit right away, failed. One by one by one by one, other than Judge. And since then, Brian Cashman is doing patchwork, and he's been eyeing that next opportunity. And this is where they are now with Volpe and Dominguez. And that's his thought process. That's why he passed on every single shortstop in free agency along the way, because he was hoping to have Anthony Volpe or Peraza, whichever one was going to hit and make it, have play shortstops. So he didn't go out and sign these big-time shortstops. And some of them, Seager would have been a great signing, although he's injured a lot, but he was great and led his team to a World Series. Some of them might have been bad, Trevor Story, or, you know, even Correa has been better in this year so far, but his ankle and injury issues, whatever. But the point being, like, why can't they develop them at the major league level? So if you want to get on Aaron Boone, my biggest critique is, why have all of these players regressed at the major league level? That is without question the biggest knock against Aaron Boone. And when you look at this team and you say they need a spark, and I look at the roster and I don't see anybody that's any good. Like, I don't know what you want them to do. You watch the lineup. We watch the team. I really don't know what they want him to do. Now, yes, it's his job to get the best out of them, and ultimately, he hasn't been able to do that. And right now, you could argue they need a spark. And if you want to fire Aaron Boone, I'm not going to argue. It's that bad. Last night was that ugly. If we wake up tomorrow, or when I wake up tomorrow afternoon, if I wake up tomorrow afternoon and hear, you know, Evan and Tiki talking about how the Yankees have fired Aaron Boone, you aren't believe me. And believe it or not, whatever you think about me in my shill and apologistic ways, I will come on and say, hey, he did it to himself. He gave them no real reason not to fire him. As much as I won't blame him, he's clearly not part of any solution. He hasn't done anything to help. This slide has continued on his watch. But what bothers me, and I have to just take it to this side point for a second, what bothers me the most is this nonsense, and I will call it nonsense. If you want to fire him, that's fine. If you think that would provide a spark, if they're at that point, okay. But the idea that if George were around, I can't take it. It bothers me. If George was still here, they would have fired him already. He wouldn't have got on the plane to Boston. He would have been fired already. This team doesn't have that same accountability as the New York Yankees had under George Steinbrenner. Oh, if George were here today, this would have been the last game Aaron Boone managed. And you know what? That's 100% accurate. There is no doubt in my mind George Steinbrenner would fire Aaron Boone today. But let me ask you, from 1979 to 1995, in those 16 years, how much did 17 managers in 16 years help the New York Yankees? Like, we want to talk about this great old time. We hearken back to the good old days where people were fired on a whim. 18 games into the season, Yogi Berra gets fired. You know, every single manager along the way gets fired. They're all working under the idea that if they don't win the next game, they're fired. They did it 17 managers in 15 years. 16 years from 79 until 1995 when they fired Buck. They had 17 managers in 16 years. How did that go for them? stop acting like the New York Yankees got away from what worked. Stop acting like the New York Yankees and the urgency in firing managers and having this, you know, heads would roll. Heads did roll for 15 years, and they were awful. And they didn't change that until George Steinbrenner was banished from baseball. So please, you want to fire Boone? Let's make it about Boone and not about George Steinbrenner or the overall arching idea that the New York Yankees have lost their accountability and have lost their fierceness, and it's not the same organization. Because you know what? They went through a ton of head coaches for forever, and you know what they became before he was banished? A laughingstock. And you know why I defend Brian Cashman? Do you want to know why? And this is what people don't get. This is what people don't get about me, because I've said on and over, I am furious about the last couple of years of Brian Cashman. I am sick to my stomach about last year. I am sick to my stomach about what we're watching right now. Sick to my stomach watching last night get embarrassed. And Brian Cashman has not done a good job. Some people go back further than me. I will say 2021. Since 2021, Brian Cashman has done an awful job, and damn near every decision he's made has been the wrong one. Might not have been the wrong one on paper when it first was made. I might have agreed with it at the time. You even might have agreed with it at the time. But besides Juan Soto, every single decision he has made since 2021 has blown up in his face, and he's done a terrible job. And I said in the offseason last year, I'm willing to move on from Brian Cashman. But this is the thing that I don't know why more people don't get. Right now, I'm sick to my stomach watching this crap. For 25 years, he's limited this feeling in my stomach compared to every other team I root for, compared to almost any other team in professional sports. The Met fan knows exactly how I feel right now. They have it almost every other year. The Knick fan knows exactly how I feel right now. They've had it for two decades straight, watching garbage, watching their team perform like absolute garbage. And while, yes, this team is predicated on championships, and I understand that, and by no means am I saying it's good enough to just not provide me with stomach sickness, but why do I give them the benefit of the doubt? Why do I sometimes defend Brian Cashman when all the haters are at the gates? Because I'm sick right now. And for 25 years, he's done a pretty damn good job of limiting how often I feel sick. The last 30 games, they're 12 games under 500. They're terrible. That's not the same as losing in the first round of the playoffs. That's why. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. But if we want to fire Aaron Boone, we could fire him. I don't know what that does. I don't know the spark that creates people to suddenly play better. I don't know how Aaron Boone getting fired makes Volpe hit better. I don't know how Aaron Boone getting fired somehow transforms Verdugo back into a 800, 780 OPS guy. I don't know how that happens. But it's so ugly and it's so bad. If it happens tomorrow, who could argue with it? Who could argue with it? AJ in Long Island. What's up, AJ?
How are you, my friend?
How's everything? Good. How are you? I'm miserable. What's going on? How's everything?
You know, I think for me, this is an organizational issue. This organization has still not got over 2017. They're still living in it. They're still worried about the Astros. They had their World Series already. They had it the first four games of the season when they swept Houston. Then they beat them two more games after that.
Yeah.
And guess what? The Astros are in first place now. So this organization still cannot let go 2017.
That has nothing to do with what the problem is right now, because you just said they exercised those demons slightly. I mean, the regular season. That's why I wanted the Astros to be back. But the Astros are four games over 500 or something. The Astros, yes, they're in first place in a division that stinks. The Astros would be in. The Astros would be in.
Tucker's been out.
The Astros would be in fourth place. I don't care. What's the so what?
Tucker's been out, and their entire pitching staff.
Giancarlo's been out. I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, okay. The point of the matter is that they're a couple games over 500, and the Yankees beat them 6-7.
So are the Mets. The Mets they have a better record than the Mets, and you love the Mets. So what's the difference?
What I'm trying to say is, you mentioned, like, oh, they're in first place now, like they've solved all their ills. I still don't think I don't think they're a very good team. And this has nothing to do with the Astros right now. Nothing. The Yankees and what's gone on here has nothing to do with the Astros. You want to tell me that they show up to play the Astros in a postseason series and just show up scared? We can have a conversation about that. That's a valid point. You want to say that no matter what the Astros look like, Tucker hurt, starting pitching down, if they face off in the ALDS or ALCS, the Yankees lose before the series gets started because they have the Astros in their head? That's a conversation. What the hell does that have? What is losing to the Mets or whatever else has happened during the regular season right now? What does that have to do with the Astros?
Because this organization can't let go of the past. That's what I'm saying. They still harp on 17 that they should have won a World Series then.
They haven't talked about that in forever. I'm sorry. I just don't want to even entertain it. What the hell does that have to do with it? That has nothing to do with it. The Houston Astros have nothing to do with this right now. Again, the Astros are in first place. I still want to see the Astros in the playoffs if I'm the New York Yankees. And as a Yankee fan, I've been saying that for forever, and I meant it, and I mean it. I want revenge. I do. I want revenge. Right now, I'm concerned about just having a season. I'm not concerned about the Astros at the moment, nor the New York Yankees. This has nothing to do with their troubles against the Houston Astros, the cheating scandal of 2017. They haven't talked about that in a while. Yeah, Brian Cashman mentioned it. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is the roster's falling apart. And guys who need to perform or not. Now, look, I'll still give Brian Cashman some. You want the Brian Cashman shill and apologist to give you a little bit? I'll give you a little bit. Here's a little bit. When we look at this roster and we say, oh, my God, you knew Stan was going to get hurt. Where's the backup plan? Oh, you knew DJ LeMay, you could be washed. Where's the backup plan? Why are these guys still thrusted into the lineup? Why is Jones here? What's going on here? It's an embarrassment. It's a disaster. Well, the backup plan for Giancarlo Stanton was Jason Dominguez. He got hurt right before the season started. They traded for John Birdie. Ask a Met fan what they think about John Birdie. He was a 300 hitter, pesky hitter. Contact hitter. Tough out. Tough guy to strike out. From the Marlins, they traded for him right before the season started. He was the backup plan in case DJ LeMahieu was terrible. He got hurt. Like, they had a couple of backup plans for this lineup. There was a time, believe it or not, where we talked about the depth of the New York Yankees and how it was a difference compared to previous seasons. When last year's depth was Bowers and Franchy Cordero, this year's depth was John Birdie, and this year's depth was Jason Dominguez coming back, and this year's depth was Trent Grisham, who has been excellent in the postseason and won a gold glove. Like, the depth was better. And yet this roster has completely fallen apart. Trent Grisham has not been what they hoped he would be. They've had injuries to their backups. DJ LeMahieu's been awful. They hoped he was coming back strong. And Verdugo, Volpe, and Torres, who, whatever you want to think about Gleyber Torres, and I wanted him traded too. And I don't think he's a winning player. And next year, I don't even offer him a contract, and I'm afraid to give him the qualifying offer because he'll probably take it. So I don't want Torres here. But I don't think anybody coming off of last year on a walk year expected Gleyber Torres to be this bad offensively. I don't think anybody after the first month of the season expected Anthony Volpe to be this bad offensively. Everybody knew Verdugo was a problem inside the clubhouse, didn't show up to things, came late. Him and the Red Sox had issues and butted heads. But the guy's been a slightly above average and great defensive left fielder for his entire career. What the hell? Why is he garbage? Like, there are some things that are happening here that are hard to explain. But this is a much more of a roster thing for me than a Boone thing. And I don't, like, people bombard me with this stuff because I defend Boone or I talk about Boone. Like, oh my God, he said Gerrit Cole had a good fastball. Like, what do you want him to say? He said Gerrit Cole's cutter was not good. Right? Like, is he supposed to come on and kill his Cy Young guy? Is he supposed to come on and just say, oh my, yeah, he's got nothing tonight. He's trash. Should he do that in what other manager in the during the game interview kills his team while the game is going on? What other manager says, yeah, the guy sucks tonight? What are we talking about? Volpe stinks. Verdugo stinks. Gleyber Torres is having an awful year. They can't, under Boone, not a single young kid has progressed other than Boone. I mean, excuse me, other than Aaron Judge. That's a problem. Those are legitimate problems. The team has gotten a little complacent. I've talked about that too. We'll be fine with the Yankees has been too prevalent inside that room. That's a problem. The fact that Aaron Boone said, you know what, his fastball wasn't that bad, is not a freaking problem. Kenny in Queens. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how's it going? To respond to what you're saying about Aaron Boone, I can't see how he's on the hook for the ineptitude of the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put
that's
him on
not
the
his
hook.
Fault.
I totally agree.
No, I'm not saying you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
He's not out there on the field. These guys just aren't playing well.
Well, then there's no point to any managers. Here's what I'll say. He as a manager, it's his job to provide answers, and he has none. That's hard to argue. I don't think it's
how do you answer that?
I understand, but life ain't fair. Like at some point you have to just say, like, I do understand the idea that it's his job to get these players playing better. That's his job. And if he's not doing it, then you have to try somebody else. But I'll be honest with you, I agree with you. I don't think putting Brad Ausmuth in there is going to suddenly turn Verdugo into a legitimate hitter. I don't think it's going to change.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
The best managers of all time. If they don't have the talent.
I agree. But at some point, like, I get it. I do get it.
Yeah.
He's got to provide some answers.
Okay. And one other question. Now, Yankees are playing Boston. They're arch rival. The Mets are playing the Braves. They're arch rival. Which team do you think that this series means more to? I think now probably the Yankees, due to the fact the way they're playing. But
yeah.
For the Mets,
it's tough because they're both in the the thick of things right now, and you don't want to. You know, it's funny because I forgot to like I didn't mention this. I talked about how that game on Monday afternoon with the New York Yankees and Tampa Bay when they got that final game of the four-game set against Tampa to salvage the split of that series, how it checked a lot of boxes. Volpe got two hits. Verdugo got a hit. They had a well-pitched game from Carlos Rodon. A lot of things happened in that game that were positive. Scored 9 runs. Soto had a monster series. The bullpen was good. That was a good game. And you were looking to build on that. And you're looking to see if Volpe can get going and looking to see if things can happen. And it only goes as far as the next game and this next series against the Mets. That game means absolutely nothing now because they followed it up with trash against the Mets. So, yeah, the easy answer is to say, sure, the Yankees are in free fall. If they go out and get, swept in Fenway, it's going to be a disaster. They could be a game out from being out of the postseason possibility. So yeah, it's on. But the Mets are right there as well, and they need to back up this win, right? I can come on the radio and tell you how great the Mets look, and Eduardo Perez and David Cone can tell you how impressive the lineup is top to bottom. If they go out there with their bitter rival, and their bitter rival is not the Yankees, their bitter rival is the Atlanta Braves. If they follow up these two games with a terrible series against the Braves, well, then what did these two games mean? They didn't mean anything. So I think they're equally important. They're equally important. But the problem is, and the thing with the New York Yankees is, and let's just be honest about it, this is not the team. Like, that's the silver lining, the positive spin I'll try and put on it, is that this is not the team. This will not be the team we see in August and September. They need Stanton back, and they need to get bats at the trade deadline, which they absolutely will. Anyone who, because I hear a bunch of callers call up to Keith, myself, anyone who thinks, like, I heard one caller in particular go, and then Brian Cashman, they won't get anybody, and they'll say this or that, and, you know, it's the same thing year after year after year. You guys don't remember year after year after year, apparently. Because Brian Cashman always makes moves. Last year he didn't when the team was terrible and he was right not to trade away prospects to try and help last year's team. Whenever they were 5, 6, 7 games out of a playoff spot. The New York Yankees are the wild card leader. The New York Yankees are a game and a half out of first place. And that's not me trying to tell you everything's fine. That's just me telling you the facts. Brian Cashman, on a year where they know they have Juan Soto for 1 year, his manager could get fired. His seat should be as hot as it's ever been in his career. He's not going to sit this out when the Yankees are in this position in the standings, no matter what the team looks like. No matter what the team looks like, Brian Cashman, without question, is going to go out and make moves. Now, I don't know if they'll be the right ones. That's a discussion. He might go out there and make it. Bring in guys who suck and are terrible for the Yankees. That I can't guarantee you. But he will make moves. The team that is out there right now playing for the New York Yankees, the ones that I said are who they are. This team currently that we watched last night, this is who they are. They are far worse than the Mets. They are a 10-game under 500 team. They are two hitters and nobody else and a disaster of an offensive team. That will not be the team in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, in August, September, and October, this team will look completely different. Stanton will be back. At some point, Dominguez will be back. At some point, Birdie will be back. And they will get at least one bat, probably two. In 2022, they were struggling, but they were in first place. They were in a wild card. They were in the playoff position. And he went out and made four deals. Now, all of them were bad. And that very likely could happen again. But he's not going to sit it out. There is no doubt in my mind. Brian Cashman's not sitting out this trade deadline. So the silver lining, the positive spin, is this team's dog crap. But it won't be the team we see in 2 weeks. The team that we will see in 2 weeks will look completely different than this team. The results might be exactly the same. That's up to see what happens. The results might be exactly the same. But the team will not be the same team. 888-808-1019. One real quick before the top of the hour. DJ in East Brunswick. What's up, DJ?
Hey, what's going on, Sam? How are you, bro?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about the Yankees with you after tonight's loss. Like, yes. You know, I understand it's supposed to be Soto and Judge, but it looks like they both have no help, and they're both struggling off of each other. And Boone wants to put together these awful lineups, you know, shifting everybody around. You know what I mean, my problem is with Cashman, but not so much as, like, I'm not even a Yankee fan, but just looking at it, it looks like there is no leadership or like function of how we're going to run this ship. Every day it's something new. You know what I mean?
No, what do you mean by something new? The lineup?
Yeah, the line.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they tried different cleanup hitters. Do you know why? Because they have the worst OPS from the cleanup spot in all of baseball. The cleanup position has been where rallies go to die. So, I mean, should Aaron Boone do nothing? Should he just sit there and continue to throw out the same cleanup hitter that is the worst in all of baseball? Or do you try and make moves? Like, this is what I don't get. And the same, like, with the leadership. They have no leadership. Who led them to the best record in baseball for the first 2 months? I can't act like that didn't happen. I cannot act like the first 2.5 months didn't exist. I will tell you what they are now, which is miserable, which is awful. But I can't pretend the first 2 months didn't happen. And I can't pretend like they did everything we're talking about. They had the same lineup every single day. They never played their subs. Grisham never played. Jones, I didn't even know he was on the team. They didn't play any of these guys. They played their guys day after day after day. Previous seasons, Judge would get days off. They went on the West Coast, dominated a West Coast trip, already guaranteed a West Coast trip victory. They were like 7-2 in the 9 games already playing their 10th road trip. And they had already won the first 2 games of a series against San Francisco. They're about to fly home from California. That was a guaranteed give Judge a double day off. Give him the day off of the last game of a series you've already won, and then the off day on the fly home back to New York. That was a guaranteed double day for Judge over the last 3 years. Write it down, lock it up. It's a guarantee. And he still played. They came back and hit and won the game off the closer, and Soto hit the big home run, but they did everything we're talking about. Where, who was leading that group, and why were they so urgent, and why did they do exactly what we're talking about, and why are they doing things differently now? Because they suck. Because the manager doesn't want to just sit back and not do anything. So why does the lineup change? Because he's trying things, because he's got a roster full of players who no longer remember how to play baseball. Should he just sit there and try nothing? This is where I get mad. No leadership. All right, no leadership. Fine. It's his job to get the players to play better. He hasn't. He has no real answers. If they fire him tomorrow, fine. But like, they won despite him for the first 2 months, and now because of him now lose because of him now. Like, it just drives me nuts. Nobody gave him any credit. Nobody wants to give him credit or Judge credit for leadership or Soto. That was the only guy who credit. Remember Soto's credit? Oh, he's changed the whole team. The urgency is different. They watch him fight every pitch of every at bat, and it's changed them. That's what not just me, everybody said that. What happened? I'm not talking about 2017 like a caller from 5 minutes ago. I'm not talking about different years. I'm talking about a month ago. What changed in a month? What changed in a month? The manager's managing differently? I don't know. It's ugly enough where changes can be made without any quibble from anyone who feels any way about Boone or Cashman. You could be a bigger defender of them than me. You can't argue. If things change tomorrow, things change tomorrow. How could I argue it? They're in free fall. But I get annoyed with, oh, where's the leadership? Oh, they're changing the lineup every day. Wouldn't you try things? I get the same nonsense line from all the callers. It's the Yankees. The definition of insanity is trying the same thing every day and expecting different results. So he should just run the same lineup out there after, you know, with them being miserable for a month. He should just try it out the same lineup. Because, hey, they're creatures of habit. Yeah, they're creatures of habit, all right.